Welcome back. This week on the podcast, I talk with Dr. JC Flokers. Dr. JC is a certified health and fitness specialist at Blokes. And throughout his career, he has held multiple positions in the health and wellness space. And I absolutely love what they are doing at Blokes. Me personally, I'm a huge fan of getting your blood work, getting your data markers, figuring out your hormone levels. And that's what they do at Blokes. They take you and they give you an individualized plan for health and wellness. And it's more of a holistic approach and strategy to help prevent, then also just make you run at optimal level. And in this conversation, we cover a number of different topics. We cover hormone levels. We cover health issues in the United States. We cover things you can do to help prevent poor health and much, much more. If you are interested in learning more about Blokes and what Dr. JC is doing there, the link is in the show notes. So if you haven't gotten your blood work in a long time or you're just curious, I think it's something you should do 2 to 3 times a year, at least once a year. So go to their website. They have it. It's for really a great price. It's not too much to get your blood working, to get you all your markers, and it'll get you headed in the right direction. Their link is in the show notes. Another center, another organization that I love is Pelham Medical Center. In 2023, they became the Orthopedic Center of Excellence, the only one in the Carolinas, and it is, and they are located 10 minutes outside of Greenville, South Carolina. So if you are in the upstate of South Carolina or anywhere in the southeast or the country and you're looking for specialized service, cancer service, they have the Gibbs Cancer Center. They have incredible operation and organization going there over there. They have incredible leadership. They have some, and I think for 3 or 4 years running, they're in the top 5% of the nation with outstanding patient experience. So they're just good all around. They're incredible all around. So I highly recommend you checking out Pelham Medical Center, just 10 quick minutes or miles away from Greenville. So anywhere in the upstate, check out Pelham Medical Center. Another sponsor that's continuing to grow is Spinx. Spinx, for a long time, I knew them as the convenience store located around the corner. I would stop in, get my gas, get my treats, whatever it might be, but I didn't realize how much Spinx gives back to the communities they are in. They've been around for 50 plus years now, and they've really built just an incredible operation. And I guarantee you, if you see a Spinx, then they are investing in that community they are in. So all I ask for you is if you live by a Spinx or you're driving by a Spinx and it's close to your house or in your community, just know they're investing back into their community, giving millions and millions of dollars to organizations like the March of Dimes. So stop in, get your gas there. They have some incredible products inside as well. But for me, support your local Spinx because they are supporting the communities they are in. And last but not least is Rebel Rabbit. For far too long, we have focused on drinking alcohol as our social drink. And that needs to be no more. That needs to go away because alcohol comes with so many negative side effects. And Rebel Rabbit is alcohol free. It is a cannabis infused seltzer. They have the mild hair and the wild hair. So it doesn't matter if you're just looking for an alternative to alcohol or you just want to try their seltzers, check them out. Their link is in the show notes. If you use promo code LIFE20, you'll get 20% off your order. They ship directly to your door, or they're racking up the retailers all over the country, so you can find the retailer closest to you and go scoop them up. But like I said, I think it's a great alternative to alcohol if you're looking for that. If you're kicking back, relaxing, watching the game or golf on Sunday or your favorite show during the week, try a Rebel Rabbit seltzer next time instead of your normal alcoholic drink. I promise you, you're going to get better sleep. You're going to wake up and have a clear mind and be able to be more productive in the days following. Last thing, if you haven't rated the show, give us a 5-star rating on your listening platform. You can give us a written review on Apple Podcast. But without further ado, here's my conversation with Dr. JC. Dr. JC, joining me from one of my favorite places in the world, Miami Beach. How's your day going, man?
I can't complain. The other day, a few days ago, I was waking up looking out at snow, looking out at, minus 20 degrees. And now it's, I got the got to get up and do a little jog along the beach and, touch my toes in the water. It's a little cold, though. The water's kind of cold, but I love it, man. I'm loving the sunshine.
Yeah, we were talking beforehand, sharing our love a little bit of finding some warm places during the winter. And you're saying I've gone to Mexico. Now you're in Miami Beach. That's a goal of ours one day, man. Hey, another good thing down there, you can get that real vitamin D.
You get the real vitamin D. 100 Yeah. My wife and I, we went to the grocery store because we had to come to obviously load up on the good, healthy foods while we're here, because eating out is, I didn't realize how expensive these restaurants are.
Sure.
So we got to look, and she already had the sunburn going on because we were outside yesterday for a little bit. So yeah, we're not used to that, getting that sunshine
especially in
January.
I want to talk your story a little bit first. You went to University of Nebraska, right?
Oh yeah. Yep.
What were your studies? And then we'll kind of get into how you found Blokes and just the stuff you're doing now.
Yeah. So when I was in University of Nebraska, I was pre-med for a while. So I was taking all the science classes, the biology, the pre-med classes, and I've always had interest in just in exercise and lifestyle. So I kind of transitioned into more of a exercise science degree, which is what I ended up graduating with, kind of exercise science, sports medicine. Really focused on training people on getting people healthier through lifestyle, through exercise, through diet, through nutrition. Because the more I was digging into medical school studies, and I was just getting turned off because a lot of it was just studying medications and understanding disease processes. You're not studying health, you're actually studying sickness. And so I just kind of was at a point, and some of my colleagues at the time, we kind of all made this decision to transition into more focusing on health. And then I actually, after graduating, went on to chiropractic school. So my doctorate degree is in chiropractic. And after chiropractic school, I moved on to some more postgraduate training in areas of functional medicine, functional nutrition, and just continued. My education honestly never ends.
Yeah. Especially in the lifestyle functional training. I mean, we're always getting new data, new information, and new products, new things we can do, learning new stuff about things we were doing that were probably wrong beforehand.
Well, it's pretty interesting because what's crazy is because I've been in this so long and I've been geeking out about this stuff for so long. A lot of the studies and literature and posts that come out now is stuff that's been around for a long time. It's just that we kind of recirculate. One of my great uncles, his name was Dr. Carl Fulkers. He was a well-known scientist. He was they actually called him the father of CoQ10.
Okay.
Nobody talked about CoQ10 back in the day. He passed away. This is I want to say in the 60s, 50s, 60s. He was one of the first scientists to be part of the group that synthesized vitamin B6, vitamin B12, nearly won the Nobel Prize for these discoveries. But he became very passionate about the effects and the benefits of CoQ10, because as we age, levels of CoQ10 decline. And CoQ10 is a nutrient, is a compound that's very instrumental and important for our cells' ability to make energy. Mm-hmm. And he actually was studying this in ways that would help improve cancer patients, overcoming cancer, overcoming treatments and stuff. He didn't do this his research here in the United States. He did in Denmark, and so he had a lot of amazing discoveries. Well, anyways, he's very passionate about that stuff. So I just kind of digging into supplements, throughout undergraduate years, the time I was practicing as a chiropractor, as I was studying functional medicine, I would find, people oftentimes when I do testing, we're deficient in so many nutrients. And so a lot of times symptoms, illness, disease, or whatever, people not feeling optimized is a combination of deficiencies as well as toxicities. So as I started digging deeper and addressing these things, CoQ10, B vitamins, vitamin D, reducing inflammation, improving gut health, patients started getting better and better and better and coming in and hey doc, I'm no longer taking these medications.
Yeah.
Hey doc, I'm no longer, I'm sleeping through the night. Hey doc, I'm actually, having more energy and more mental focus. And it just kind of propelled me to want to dig deeper into understanding what true health is. And so, like I said, I'm a student of this, and I will always forever be a student of this, but Fast forward to, you know, practicing as a functional medicine doc for about 20 years now, and then seeing a need for offering these types of services, this type of information virtually, which is how Blokes came to be, where we're able to reach people no matter where they might live in the United States. And sometimes around the world. I've met with patients, talked to patients that are in other countries as well. So
it's kind of crazy. I think there's a lot of challenges with like the primary care model and traditional health care model. And, you know, I do see a lot of people trying to transition to like somebody like yourself, or like getting their blood work done, or just like finding a different alternative to kind of the standard stuffy healthcare model that we've been in for such a long time with like diagnostic labs or something that you would first tell a patient or somebody to do. What would that be?
Yeah. So kind of, you know, it's interesting because like you said, a lot of times we tend to think, I shouldn't go to the doctor unless I'm not feeling well, unless I'm sick, unless I have symptoms or something going on. And that's even how I grew up thinking, like doctors are for when, you know, something's going wrong. And I think the awareness that we actually gain when no matter how we're feeling, especially when we're feeling good, and getting like a baseline of some sort of biomarkers, whether it's blood labs or what have you, or some sort of diagnostic test to assess, like, this is me when I feel pretty good. This is me when I'm optimized. And that's so valuable, because the truth is, the lab markers that most of us are being compared to, we're being compared to, for the most part, other unhealthy people. That's where they get these lab markers. And so I don't want to be compared to other unhealthy people. I want to understand, like, okay, when I'm feeling good, and what are my markers? Are they here? Am I looking at just, am I normal in this? Or I want to see, am I optimal? Mm-hmm. So we take these markers and bring them here. So I think it's always a good time for people to get some sort of diagnostic test done, especially when they are maybe, you know, feeling their best.
Yeah.
And that way, like, okay, this is Sam when he's feeling great, and, you know, and then now you have this place to kind of compare yourself to. But you know what? Almost every single time when we do labs, we take a peek under the hood, we still find, hey, you know what?
Yeah.
Even though you're not feeling this symptom, even though you're not feeling this, I see a little bit of deficiency, or, you know, you're not optimal here. Let's bring this up. And your inflammation is a little bit high. Let's bring that down. And your liver enzymes are a little bit up. Let's work on bringing that down. And so we can start to make some preventative changes, some proactive adjustments in your lifestyle, in your diet, in your nutrition, to actually help optimize you all the more and keep you there.
Yep. I think about that a lot. And that's what I try and tell people is, like, you need to get your blood work done, because you think the way you think you feel good.
Right.
And that's your normal. But there really could be like a much better version of that.
Oh, 100%.
100%. You know, like, people are deficient even though they think they're feeling good. And I like how y'all will break it down. Like you said, you know, if you look at markers and you need to be between 60 and 120, that's just an example. You know, I think the optimal could be you need to be between 90 and 110, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, bring it. Yep. Exactly.
You really can like hone in on where you want to be instead of just being in some like fairy tale range.
Well, like for example, to give you like a real life example, like vitamin D is something I almost like to look at that first before, especially this time of year. So like you look at a typical lab, vitamin D is like 30 to 100, you know what I mean? And almost everyone is like 35, maybe 40. And they're like, yeah, but, you know, it's just, and they're not feeling great, because vitamin D really technically is more a hormone. It impacts inflammation, impacts immune health, mood. Inflammation in the body impacts other hormone production. And so you want to see that vitamin D not, you know, 30 or 35 or, you know, 40. You want to see it like 60 to 80 is like more optimal. That's when that's when people are feeling good. And I hear it all the time before they're supplementing with vitamin D and they get it. They're like, wow, I didn't realize how crappy I was feeling. I didn't realize it. Like, you know, now I'm sleeping better. I have more mental clarity. I have less aches and pains. I'm just, you know, and then it's like, well, let's look at this other marker. So we kind of address each marker that way. Take this like big range based on unhealthy individuals and bring it in tighter. And that's where we want to get your marker.
And that's one thing that I think people could have so much value in is because they get their normal markers done. They go to their primary hair doc. They get their blood work done once a year. And like, if you're in this kind of super wide range, they don't really tell you anything else. They just kind of send you on your way and tell you that you're good. With I feel like so many people are deficient anyways in things. Why have we become so deficient in like these nutrients that our bodies really need?
There's a lot of factors. There's number one, I feel like the easy is we're just not getting the nutritious foods that we used to. We're getting a lot of caloric dense foods, but not nutritionally dense foods. There's also a lot of stress. You know, the typical American now is high stress. We're relying on stimulants, on caffeine, on things to get us going, get us through the day, and we don't realize that, like, you know, cups of coffee, energy drinks, things like that, it's causing our system to get revved up, burn through more of that magnesium, burn through more of those B vitamins, just kind of cause our body to basically secrete a lot of, because, you know, for example, caffeine, I like coffee. I also, I do pre-workout, you know, occasionally. And every time, I know when I do that, I have to really replenish these nutrients, because if you look at, for example, energy drinks, what do they add to them? They add B vitamins. Yep. They add things because
B6.
They know it's going to rev you up and cause your body to really, really burn through those things. So a lot of times it's a combination of just not getting enough nutrients, A, from our diet, from our lifestyle, B, having high stress, and then also just kind of like, you know, taking in stimulants and things that cause us to really even become more deficient in these things. And our foods, and you've heard this, are just not as nutrient dense as they once were at all. And we're all on the go. We're all trying to, you know, eat to just get, you know, to just get through the day. But I think those are the things that I kind of come across. Also just people not getting good quality, adequate sleep. It doesn't sound like sleep would affect that, but the thing is, when a person has a really poor night of sleep or several nights of poor sleep, it makes you more insulin resistant, and which makes you want to kind of gravitate towards those more palatable, sugary, bad foods as well.
It's also so bad food is so accessible. And
so accessible.
That's crazy, you know?
It is.
And people don't prepare their foods. They just get caught in bad situations, or now they're hungry and they're starving and they stop in a convenience store or stop in a fast food restaurant. With the markers you like to look at, and you mentioned this before we started recording, but there's sometimes one or two that you like to focus on. Talk us through some of those.
Yeah, I mean, so like you kind of alluded to it. So because of the accessibility, the high accessibility of these like high sugary palatable bad foods, I always want to look at, first of all, like, what is the metabolic health of this individual? What's their fasting blood sugar? What's their fasting insulin? What's their A1C? And that kind of gives me an idea of, like, you know, what's going on metabolically, meaning like how well their body's able to utilize blood sugar, how insulin resistant they might be. And the truth is, like, almost 90% of Americans, 80% of Americans are pretty unhealthy metabolically, you know, and it's pretty much stems from what they put in their mouth, you know, what they eat. So I like to look at that, and that metabolic, blood sugar dysregulation, insulin resistance itself can and will create other deficiencies, like we talked about. So your body's trying to process all the sugar, which requires more B vitamins, which requires more magnesium, which requires more of these substrates. And so then I'll go down and I'll look at, oh, what's their magnesium level? Pretty low. What's their vitamin D? What are markers that look at zinc? Markers that look at these other, what are their inflammatory markers looking like C-reactive protein, sed rate. So we can see inflammation in the body. We can see liver markers, and that's typically how I kind of go down. And of course I also like to look at hormone levels, but for people, testosterone for men, and women, because I see that as a common theme now, where younger and younger guys are starting to have lower and lower testosterone.
Yeah. Well, I want to talk on that too in a second. What is your take on like omega-3s?
So omega-3s, man, I tell you what, there's been a lot more literature and things I've been hearing about that, but omega-3 happens to be a test I like to look at. Omega-6 to omega-3 ratio is something I've been paying attention to for decades, and it's something that can and does lead to a lot of inflammation in a lot of people because of that imbalance. In fact, it's been equated to the typical American that omega-6 and omega-3 ratio is so out of balance that they can and might be just as unhealthy as a smoker, as if they were smoking like 3 packs a day.
Yep.
Because of that amount of inflammation. So a lot of it has to do with the fact that they're, once again, the standard American diet, the things that we're eating are high in omega-6s, low in omega-3s. So you get this ratio, and it kind of lends itself, pushes more inflammation throughout the body, more systemic inflammation. So to balance that out is like we got to try to reduce the omega-6s and increase omega-3s. I always try to recommend, hey, let's try to get less omega-6s, because like I know the chips and the oils and we go eat out in a restaurant, it's going to have a lot of omega-6s that you're getting in, and so that throws things off. So you want to like at least try to supplement with those omega-3s, good quality clean fish oil products, and that way you're kind of balancing that ratio. The ideal is 1-to-1, but most people, I mean, I've seen patients 25-30-to-1, you know, with omega-6 to 3. That's not where you want to be.
I didn't know that's what it meant, but like sometimes, and I think I just would like in my head, or when I would hear people talk like, oh, omega-6s and omega-3s, like, oh, those are like both valuable and we both kind of just need a lot of them in a way. But I didn't know if you had that ratio difference or the gap in between of them was a big marker.
It's not that omega-6s are bad, and it's not that omega-3s are good. It's the ratio, like to your point, the ratio is so far off that it tips it more towards a kind of a pro-inflammatory state. So you want to balance that out. And the best way, the better way is to reduce the omega-6s, which is kind of hard. Even I have a hard time. I mean, it's just I read labels like crazy, and I'm still kind of like working to get that omega-6 lower. But I'm always trying to also take the supplement with omega-3s. And that's what you're trying to do. So it's kind of like, it's like, for example, like hormones, we look at hormones, and there's sometimes people are, their estrogen's too high compared to their progesterone, so they're estrogen dominant. So we're looking, it's the same thing as omega-6 and 3s. We're kind of looking at them in a ratio.
Yeah, you'd almost, maybe not everything, but it's almost like a good rule of thumb. You just got to balance things out.
Correct. Yes.
With omega-3s, so you can take like a fish oil supplement would be something good.
Yeah, and the thing is that whole industry is crazy too, because I mean there's so many, I would say unfortunately there's so many like not good, such good quality fish oil products out there.
Time.
Yeah, and me too. And so I've always really tried to search it for the best quality, and I've come across some really good ones and then the bad ones, and people are like, I've always gone by the rule of thumb, if it smells fishy, don't do it. and if you're getting like, if you're noticing, which I hate, the fish burps kind of thing that you might get, if you take, that's a sign that's not probably the best quality. So that's a thing too. But yeah, you can get yourself a good quality fish, like a omega-3 product. Sometimes people find a really good like krill products out there, or omega-3 products mostly derived from like salmon, things like that. That seems to be helpful.
Nice.
Just to get the good quality.
With testosterone, I know that's kind of a big thing that Blokes does too, is testosterone replacement. And I guess in males and females, it could be useful in females too.
Mm-hmm.
With kind of like the idea around testosterone replacement, I feel like for a long time people have thought like maybe I don't need it if I'm a certain age, or like if I'm doing it, something's wrong, or like I'm trying to be a bodybuilder or something like that, talk to me why it could be so important for so many different types of people.
So the hormone itself, the hormone testosterone, is important for both men and women. it happens to be a hormone that does so many things, and it's unique because it's a hormone that goes into our cells, and it actually goes into the nucleus of the cell, and it influences and impacts genetic expression. So it actually is it's very important to have that hormone optimized. And testosterone replacement therapy is not the only way to do that. It is a tool. It is effective, and it can be very life changing and very positive for so many guys and gals. For example, some men that are maybe younger, 20s, 30s, and maybe they're very much still wanting to have children and to conceive, and fertility is important to them. Oftentimes, because testosterone replacement can negatively affect fertility, it can impact the testosterone levels. But we can start to see like reduced sperm motility, reduced sperm count, in many cases. And so we have another option that we offer a lot, which is called enclomiphene, and that happens to be a medication which is really cool because it actually stimulates the brain to release something called luteinizing hormone that allows that patient's body to make testosterone on their own. So we'll see guys that are in it all. And enclomiphene also helps preserve and even enhance fertility many times. So they're getting a boost in testosterone. I just recently had a patient, which is pretty cool. He was young 30s. He was on TRT prior to coming over to us, and he was on TRT. He was one of those guys that experienced some side effects, which we'll talk about. The side effect part of it that you kind of alluded to with bodybuilders and stuff like that.
Yep.
He was having some side effects I was having some acne, and I was having, I don't know, I just kind of was getting water retention because he was dosed really high. So he was like, I felt great, but then I kind of felt like I didn't feel good. So he's kind of doing this like yo-yo thing, like he was on a roller coaster. So he's like, I stopped doing testosterone, but then his levels crashed. So we got him on enclomiphene. Did a follow-up with him, and he said, wow, this is like, I feel like I'm on TRT, but without all the side effects with the enclomiphene. Guy felt great. I feel like I'm getting stronger at the gym. I'm recovering better from working out. My libido is better. My sleep is better. My concentration is better. My mental focus is better. All those things. So enclomiphene can be a really good tool to optimize a man's testosterone, because that's really what you want to try to do when their levels are suboptimal.
Go ahead.
Yeah, then I'll just say the TRT piece, that is where you want to really appropriately dose that individual, where you kind of minimize the side effects and enhancing benefits. And there's a way to do that. There's art to that. It's not a one size fits all cookie cutter approach. And that goes for women and men. Go ahead. But that's kind of the thing that I want to share as far as the two options for enhancing testosterone.
No, and it's something I'm trying to understand better too, because I'm 35. Like, I don't think I need TRT, but I keep, listening to podcasts, listening to doctors, and like, it seems to be like a very increasingly good option for almost a lot of males and females. With markers, when you were looking at your markers, I think there's something like free testosterone, maybe there's another testosterone marker, but what are some of those markers? And then what are some of the numbers if you're drifting towards that, where you could start looking at some of these options?
So what we typically will see is when assessing a man's testosterone, we're going to look at total testosterone. So that's the amount of testosterone in the blood, in the serum. We're also going to look at free testosterone. Free testosterone is essentially, it's a calculation utilizing your total testosterone, as well as your a protein called sex hormone binding globulin, as well as albumin, another marker. So those are proteins that bind testosterone, because we want to know what the free testosterone is. We want to know how much of that testosterone in your body is bioavailable. And here's the thing, most of the time, guys are talking to each other like, hey, what's your testosterone? Oh, it's 850, whatever. What's yours? Oh, mine's 900. But you could have a guy whose testosterone is 900, which is technically in the optimal range, but his free testosterone can still be suboptimal because he may have a high amount of sex hormone binding globulin. So we're taking all those variables, all those biomarkers into account to determine what's the guy's free testosterone, but also if he's feeling suboptimal, if he's feeling like his testosterone is suboptimal, why is that? What's missing? What can we do to improve this? And I mean, there's a lot of things. It's not always TRT or enclomiphene. It's why is the testosterone suboptimal? First of all, why is the sex hormone binding globulin high? Why is the free testosterone suboptimal? And we start to address those things. Like, for example, I have patients that are firefighters and they're very fit, very, you know, in shape, healthy, but their sleep pattern is so out of whack sometimes that can significantly diminish and lower their testosterone from just the poor sleep. Or you have some guys that are working a job that's very stressful, high stress environment, high cortisol, boom, their testosterone can be low. You have somebody that's like not working out, that's sitting at a desk, that's, you know, very sedentary, has a belly, you know, a lot of belly fat, that can cause high estrogen, that can cause low testosterone. So there's all these things we want to look at to ask why is their testosterone low, mm-hmm. and then start to work on that. And in many cases, we can get those levels improving and maybe add in some certain supplements to enhance that. You know, there's certain things out there like Tungkat Ali, Fidoji Agrestis, there's boron, there's, you know, there's things that can, you know, there's nutritional deficiencies, vitamin D, mm-hmm. DHEA. So there's a lot of things, ashwagandha, that we can strategically put on board to optimize that guy's testosterone even before, you know, going to TRT.
Yeah, that's what I was wondering too, and you touched on a few of them, but I was wondering other lifestyle behaviors that could negatively affect your testosterone.
Yeah, I mean, the biggest ones, top of the list is stress.
Yeah.
You know, stress is huge. Poor sleep is pretty equal there.
Drinking or smoking or something.
Yeah, 100%. Right? Alcohol kills testosterone. So drinking, smoking, for sure. I mean, all the lifestyle things that we do, you know, eating the standard American diet does not lend itself towards optimal testosterone. So like you want to be more like, you know, high protein, you know, healthy, clean eating, exercising, alcohol is not like, it's not going to ruin you unless you overdo it. But a lot of us kind of tend to do a little too much of all those things. So there's definitely a balance that's there. And that's why when you're looking at a person's labs, it is a snapshot of that moment in time. Mm-hmm. So it's not always, I mean, I'm looking at a guy's testosterone after he went, you know, on a bachelor party trip, you know, and did, poor sleep, drank, did all the things, and his levels are like, and then, you know, check them a couple weeks later and they're like, it's like a 400 point difference.
Yeah, totally different person.
Yeah, totally different person.
Rebel Rabbit is on a mission to provide a healthier and smarter way to socialize and drink. Their alcohol-free, cannabis-infused seltzers are perfect for anybody just trying to kick back and relax after a hard day at work or on the golf course with your friends or hanging out at a party and you want to wake up and feel better the next day. Their seltzers are perfect for you. They are a great alternative to alcohol as well. Their website is drinkrebelrabbit.com. Use promo code LIFE20. You'll get 20% off your order. That link is in the show notes. But join the mission and start drinking and socializing smarter with Rebel Rabbit Seltzers.
You touched on a little bit like weight loss and people that, you know, need to lose weight. I've noticed, and like y'all have them on y'all's website, I think they're GLP-1.
Right. Agonist.
Yeah, agonist, right? And they're,
yep.
Some of the common ones are like semi-glutide, right? And then try something tide, another one of those. What are
peptides?
Right. What are they, and when, if you are going to get on one, like, talk to me through the lifestyle, you know, working out and like making sure you're still eating type of stuff that you need to be doing if you did go that route.
Yeah, this is kind of goes back to like the metabolic health of the individual. A lot of people come to us and they want to lose weight, and they also happen to be, you know, not the healthiest metabolically. And so these are GLP-1 agonists. They're great tools to help a person, you know, lose weight. And there's the semaglutide, there's the tirzepatide. They both are, you know, function very similarly. And some of the benefits of them are, you know, it'll help curb appetite. It will help with the insulin resistance. And it also kind of does help do a lot of positive things for just cravings. And so a lot of times these people come to us and they've tried everything. They've tried every workout, every diet, and they just feel like they had failed at reaching their weight loss goals. And these are people that, you know, telling me like, look, I've tried everything. I'm eating like this low calorie diet. I'm doing this and working out and running every day, and they're just not losing weight. And so that, you know, these GLP-1s, are like, I use them as a tool because all of a sudden people are seeing and feeling like they're getting success, with their lifestyle habits. And that's why I really stress is like, use this to implement good lifestyle habits, prioritize protein. One of the things where people take these things and lose weight so fast is oftentimes they may lose muscle. I don't want people to lose muscle. I want them to lose fat. But if they're really prioritizing the protein, getting enough protein in, a lot of times this can be a dose related thing, because a lot of the patients I've talked to that have taken Mounjaro or Wegovy, their dosing schedule is very aggressive, where they're like, I don't even think about eating. I don't even want to eat. When patients work with us, I mean, we watch them closely. We titrate their dose according to how they're feeling, how they're responding. You know, because I want them to, you know, not want the, you know, cheesecakes and the, and, you know, and the pastries and, you know, all of the, you know, the foods that they normally crave, but I want them to be able to, you know, make sure they're getting enough protein. So yeah, these people are successfully losing weight, successfully keeping it off. But it's the biggest piece of it is the lifestyle component. Mm-hmm. And, but that GLP-1 is a great tool, a great catalyst to get them on that road to success.
What is your normal suggestion about like how they should be working out or like how they should be building muscle?
Yeah, I mean, it all varies from, you know, where they are as far as where their fitness level is. Some people, if you know, unfortunately, there's a lot of people that do not do any activity. So let's start with walking. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's start with some walking. Then you got people that are like, I'm going to the gym. I have a trainer. It's kind of, you know, I really want to move people towards doing some sort of resistance training, even if it's like body weight exercises, you know, air squats and, you know, push-ups or things like that. Getting some dumbbells going. But everyone, I think, should be, you know, walking to some degree. And it's really cool when people are actually seeing the scale change.
Yeah,
it can be motivating. It can be that 100%. That is so motivating, and it encourages people to keep going and adding to that fitness journey. You know, and then before you know it, I hear all the time, I'm training for a marathon, or I'm training for this. And this is somebody that like was on the couch for 5 years. You know what I mean?
It is hard to change that lifestyle. It really is.
Yes, especially it really is.
And you can't like seem to find any success, especially like, if you're dieting or exercising and you think you're trying and you're still, you know, not finding success. Is there this always changes, you know, it's variable on the person and their goals. Is there a diet or a nutrition plan? Because I don't even like to call it diet sometimes.
Right.
Just like a nutrition plan, almost in a way that you kind of lean towards that you think works best for most people.
You know, I've played with this and changed it so many times over the years. Mm-hmm. It's just kind of like at the end of the day, you really have to meet that person where they are, you know, and everyone's kind of different. But I like to focus, number one, on hydration. A lot of people are actually not adequately hydrated, and that itself can affect appetite. You feel hungry when you're actually dehydrated. Number two, a lot of people are just not consuming enough protein either. So I like, you know, keeping it simple, because I'll be honest, Sam, I used to create like meal plans and the whole thing, and it sometimes it did set people up for failure, because the minute they're not adhering to that structured plan, they feel, you know, I can't do this. Yeah, you know, that kind of thing.
I can't do it. Yep.
Yeah. And you got to give yourself a little, forgive yourself for cheating every once in a while. I think it's So in some cases, okay to have that day where you kind of indulge a little bit more than usual. But, you know, prioritizing protein is so important in the grand scheme of things. When you're starting your day, for example, with a good amount of like a protein, you know, 30, 40 grams, maybe even 50 grams, depending on that, that sets the tone for the rest of the day. And, yeah. You know, versus getting up, unfortunately, a lot of people, really eat dessert for breakfast of some sort. And they're starting their day off with this roller coaster of high blood sugar, high insulin, that kind of thing. And so, you know, I for some people, intermittent fasting might be work for them. For some people, but really everyone, I want them to eat, focus on getting more protein, good sources of protein, of course, and then trying to eliminate the processed foods and the sugary foods. Yep.
I like to think when I talk to people and I have friends that ask, I'm like, you got to find something that's sustainable. You know, it's like, you can't, like you said, if you have some crazy meal plan and make a wrong,
that's what it is.
And then you get depressed and angry at yourself and you just kind of never go back to it. You got to find something that's sustainable.
Sustainability is the key. It's like whatever you can adhere to and stick to, that's the plan for you. That is, it really is, you know, and everyone's different, you know, because everybody comes from a different kind of, you know, the foods they like. Like I, you know, I have six daughters and they all eat differently. You know, it's like, I know like my one younger, she'll eat like her mom and have salads and, you know, all vegetables. Then my other daughters like me, we're like T-Rexes over here. We just want meat. You know, that's kind of, you know.
What's the age range of your daughters? I saw it in your IG.
Yeah.
Says you're the dad of six.
So I have an 8-year-old, an 11-year-old, 17, 24, 28, and 30.
There we go, man. You got a full starting five of all girls over there.
Yeah, all girls. Yeah.
with things that I think have tend to push people away from the traditional healthcare model is like the transparency and what you're paying and the insurance model. And I know for the most part at Blokes, y'all don't use insurance, which I think is becoming way more common, especially with, you know, clinics or programs. Like Blokes, there's a few other ones that I think do it well too. But talk to me why it isn't an insurance model and what you tell people when they're like, hey, this is the price you see is like honestly the price that it is.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a great question. And there's so many ways to go about it. I'll first like to ask a question and answer it. Like, what does insurance really pay for? And it's kind of like, and what doesn't it pay for? So insurance pays for basically medications. And oftentimes certain diagnostic tests that are not fully necessary or not fully complete.
And they're not complete a lot of times.
And it pays for procedures. Mm-hmm. So if you think about it, the tests that they're going to cover, the goal is to determine which drug should the doctor prescribe. When the doctor is doing their job, this is how they're trained. Because insurance companies dictate how the doctor should go about, you know, standard of care. So it's like, let's order this test that's going to be incomplete to determine which medication or which procedure should I do. And the patient, you're not really thinking of it from a health standpoint. We want to educate people about like health, about it, and empower them and create awareness. So we, instead of having this little panel with, you know, whatever, 10, 15 markers, we have panels and we've gone in to negotiate with the lab to get them, make them affordable for patients. And we have this panel that looks at all these markers to determine like what's going on, what's really, you know, areas that we want to focus on, empower the patient to take, you know, their health into their own hands, be their own advocate. And it's, you're investing in your health. You're instead of using your insurance to pay for sick care, you're investing in your health. And I like to use like the three P's. You're basically prioritizing health instead of procrastinating, because if you procrastinate, you don't prioritize, you're not able to fulfill your purpose in life, because, you know, that's what we're taught growing up. Oh, I don't need to go to a doctor or go to a clinic, whatever, unless there's something wrong. And that's the path you go down. And that's why you have people that are taking medications for life that their insurance is paying for. So insurance is, insurance, I feel like is necessary for crisis, for emergency type of situations, right? That's why I have it. That's why, you know, I want to use it for if I, you know, something happens and in Miami, I have to go to the hospital if, you know, something, that's what it's for. But I'm not going to use it for other things, like for maintaining my health, for looking at my blood work, for taking action and what supplements I need and how I should live my life and how much sleep I should get and water I should get. And all, that's what I invest in.
Yeah.
And so we wanted to create a company that allows people to take ownership of their health. And then we can, you know, prescribe things and not be controlled or dictated by the insurance company, because, you know, it's an insurance model that's dictated on what it limits, what you can do. I don't want to be limited.
Yeah, totally.
We can. Yep.
I think there's still like limits to insurance models that you can do, but I think eventually we'll be able to transition to like a plan, an insurance plan that is more like crisis focused. And then really you could just spend that money you were spending on insurance to do like more, you know, productive and taking, like you said, taking control of your health through like blokes and other types of ways of looking at your markers.
Absolutely.
Engineered Sleep makes the best mattresses out there. Sleep is the number one thing you can focus on right now to better your performance on a daily basis, and you might as well be sleeping on an Engineered Sleep mattress. Like I said, their products are the best, and their customer service is second to none. Their website is engineeredsleep.com. If you use promo code LIVE15, you'll get 15% off your order. So if you or someone you know is looking for a new mattress, reach out to the team at Engineered Sleep, and they'll hook you up. Again, their website is engineeredsleep.com. Use promo code LIVE15 to get 15% off your order.
Yeah, I mean, it really is just that paradigm shift when people start to like, you know, I'm like, I always say, like, who's a doctor of the future? It's the patient.
Yeah,
it's you. You are the one that can not only influence your health, but also by doing so, the health of your kids, the health of your grandkids. I mean, and that's, you know, by how you live and by what you do, not by waiting until, you know, things start to go awry. So
what a few questions as we're closing up. Seed oils. What do you tell people about seed oils?
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to the kind of omega-6 thing, you know. The way it's, the problem with seed oils is how it's processed, once again, how inflammatory they are. And they're just not, it's just not natural. These are things in our foods that are kind of going against natural law. We're putting things in our body. Our body's like, what the heck? And it confuses the body. So a lot of these seed oils are just like, they're just not, over time, it's going to cause more inflammation. It's going to cause more issues and it creates more imbalance.
Yeah. And I think too, people don't realize that yet. Me and my wife were talking about this like last night. I think we are pretty educated on a lot of this stuff in the health and wellness world, but we find out that so many people still have no clue, you know, like we'll bring up things and they'll have no ideas. And these are like smart people, you know, people that are very intelligent, still don't know about these things they need to be looking out for on the supplement side of things around gut health, around immune health. What are some of those other supplements people can be kind of intaking around this time of year and really throughout the year?
Yeah. Yeah. So vitamin D, like we talked about, super important. You try to get the real vitamin D if you can, good old sunshine. But for gut health is something that's, you know, that's where everything kind of begins, you know, when it comes to immune health, hormone health. So gut health, L-glutamine is an amino acid. It's really great for, you know, just healing leaky gut, making sure you're getting enough zinc, making sure you're getting those healthy omega-3s for gut health. Also, you know, probiotic rich foods, fermented foods, and, you know, getting that good flora, you know, in the gut is so important. And just, you know, making sure a lot of things overlooked is when we are eating, make sure you're eating in a low stress environment. We're always eating on the go. We're always, you know, doing things in a fight or flight sympathetic state, and that impacts digestion. And another thing with gut health too, can be ideal is looking at it upstream, like how well are your foods being digested. That's where, you know, it can be helpful to sometimes take digestive enzymes.
Yeah.
Or maybe some apple cider vinegar kind of before meals, and some lemon juice and things like that to optimize digestion upstream. And then downstream, you know, that's where you want to have like those other things, with the L-glutamines, the omega-3s, the the D's and the zincs and those kind of things.
What was berberine? I think you mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, and berberine is another good one for does have gut health benefits. So back to the metabolic health, the unhealthy Americans. I like berberine because what it can do for blood sugar levels. Berberine is basically a compound derived from like medicinal plants that have been around for a long, long time. I like to take it, especially when I consume meals that have some carbs and if I have, you know, some starchy carbs, things like that, because it's going to help prevent the giant spikes in blood sugar. It's been shown to be effective at helping address SIBO, which is small intestinal bacterial overgrowth. It's been shown that berberine has been shown to also kind of help, improve the lipids, like the high cholesterol markers as well. So berberine is a pretty powerful compound. Not everybody not tolerates it well. Some people, if they take berberine, they might upset their stomach. There is a version of berberine out there. I think it's berberine HCL that kind of seems to be the kind that it won't upset your stomach. But I definitely think it has a lot of health benefits from a metabolic standpoint. So that's something I like to take for overall metabolic health, but it doesn't have that downstream kind of gut health benefit too.
Very cool. With blokes, and if people do want to like start working with you guys and working with you, what would you tell them to do? Where can they get to you and then kind of
steps? We try to make it as easy as possible. So if you have an iPhone, a smartphone, if you have a computer, you can go onto our website. It's blokes, blokes.co. And you can basically start by choosing one of the labs to order. I always, a lot of guys are wondering what's my testosterone level, and a lot of guys have never had their testosterone levels checked. So you can start with the complete hormone panel, very easy to order. And then we get to go into like your local LabCorp or Quest if we need to use Quest near you and get your labs done. And then we get you set up with one of our providers or case managers to kind of see what would be the best option for you. And go from there and get you on the program.
I mean, I'm looking at the prices now. Like, y'all found a way to make it, I feel like, very affordable.
Very affordable.
Incredible.
Oh, I mean, to give you an idea, Sam, I mean, I don't know, because I've been in the lab game for a long time, and I used to order labs for, like, in my functional medicine practice. Some of these labs, like, patients would fight with me, like, no, man, I'm gonna use my insurance to pay for this. I got the best insurance on the planet. It's gonna cover. I'm like, no, you understand. Like, I went to bat for you. Like, I was getting this big comprehensive panel for like I was paying like $600-700 for them. I wasn't upcharging. I'm like, no, I'm gonna. So some of these people are just so adamant and insist on using their insurance. I had this one gal come back, and her insurance, or actually the lab, charged her $6,000. For this lab that we ordered that I got for like $600. So it's just all these markers. And it was just, and so we had to go back. Anyways, we worked hard to get to make this affordable for patients, because the best thing you can invest in is your health. And, it's just, it pays dividends, man. Yeah, so it's, totally. we just want everyone to be able to have access to it.
Very cool. Well, Dr. JC, man, I'm jealous you're down in Miami. Maybe that will motivate me and my wife to get down there sooner.
Come on down. Come on down.
It's been a great conversation. People are going to get so much of it. We really touched on so many different things people can take from it. Thank you for joining me. It was so informative, and it's really been a pleasure having you on.
It's been a pleasure, Sam. I appreciate you having me in.
Thank you for listening. Give our partners some love by visiting their links in the show notes. Spink's Convenience Stores, you can find the location nearest you. Rebel Rabbit Seltzers, they're on a mission to socialize healthier and smarter, so join the mission. And Engineered Sleep, making the best mattresses in the game. You might as well be sleeping on an Engineered Sleep mattress. For me, if you could give our show a 5-star rating on your listening platform, that'd be greatly appreciated. And thank you so much for listening.